This is the one we're getting to know better. Should we try to harmonize on this one? Not bad.
I can't tell if we did it or not.
Maybe. Oh, man. It's another Gilmore Gab, guys.
Thanks Gillies. For coming.
Thanks for coming, everybody.
Welcome to the neighborhood.
Welcome to your local internet neighborhood, wherever you may be listening to this, SoundCloud, iTunes,
a booth at a Chili's,
Stitcher, yeah, your iPad in your car because you don't want to get out of your car. I do find that it's very hard to get out of my car when I get home because I just want to like keep listening to my music or podcasts and like checking texts and stuff. Do you go through that?
Sometimes it's like I'm listening to a song and I just, it's like a minute later is when I'll get out just because it's like I'm air drumming or something. Dumb.
Yeah.
Welcome to Gilmore Gabs.
Welcome to Gilmore Gabs, our special interview series where we talk to people involved in the making and the creation of the show Gilmore Girls. That sets it up about right, right?
Yeah.
We've already gotten very vulnerable about ourselves, and that's not what this show is about, is it? Well, it kind of
is. Not?
I go back and forth on it, but let's stop dilly-dallying around. Or as someone pointed out to me, gilly-gallying around.
No, I don't like that at
okay.
all.
Okay. Sounds good, and let's introduce our guests right now.
La la, la la.
We sound so
special
crazy right now.
Guest.
That's guys, funny. Gillies, these are the casting directors of your show, Gilmore Girls. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Mara Casey and Jamie Rudofsky.
Holla.
Holla, holla, holla,
holla. Stars, holla, holla, holla.
Stars, holla. Guys, thank you so much for joining us on the show.
Oh, my God. Thank you for letting us talk you into having us on the show.
I know. You guys were so nice enough to actually reach out to us and say, like, hey, we'll do the show.
Yeah.
And we jumped at the opportunity for that.
Thank you.
So let's start at the very beginning. Your parents meet. Is that too far?
Let's skip forward a few years.
Okay. Fourth grade.
Okay.
Okay. Well, let's go
His
to...
His name was...
Brian.
Turner.
Oh.
Brian Turner,
real.
If you're listening, this come on
real.
The show.
let's actually just start at the profession of casting directing. Is that... That's technically what you would both be called, correct?
Yes. At the time, absolutely.
Okay.
And still, I've recently jumped back into casting directing.
Okay, cool.
But yes, casting directors, not casting agents.
Okay,
yes.
So tell us, we know because we're big Hollywood hotshots, but tell the listeners, like, what does a casting director do? What is the
Jamie,
day-to-day
why
don't
you
job
take it?
For that?
Alrighty then. Well, what happens is we are responsible for finding actors who fit the roles or who we think might fit the roles that are being looked for in a series or film or what have you. And just so the audience knows, we actually did not work on the pilot. There was a pilot presentation, which is not a full pilot, but it's like we present some ideas of what we would do with this show.
It's about a 30-minute presentation.
Yes. And we did not cast that. Some fantastic ladies cast that.
Jill Anthony
and Julie Mossberg. And then the series got picked up, and we were lucky enough to get a meeting on that. Before this, Mara and I had not really done anything together.
No, we met via fax back
we
in
did.
The day.
Ooh, classic meet cute via fax.
We were faxing. I was using her office because I needed pictures and resumes faxed
no,
to her
no,
office.
No, 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 no. Here, let me back it on up. Jamie was on the practice.
Yes.
And I was on Judging Amy, the woman I was working. I was an associate at the time. The woman I was working with, Jeannie Bachrach, said, you know, you got to meet this woman, Jamie Rudofsky. You guys have really similar tastes.
Mm-hmm.
And by similar, I mean fantastic.
Oh, of course. That's what we would all
so,
yes.
And so I'm like, yeah, right, whatever. Didn't really land on me. And then I think you probably faxed, I don't know if you faxed like Karina Logue or somebody awesome to our office that we needed to meet, Donna Logue's younger sister, who's a fantastic actress. And so we started faxing each other's headshots kind of before we met of people we thought each other would appreciate or fit.
Would be good on their show.
Yeah. And so we met via the fax.
And then Mara called me one night and said, do you want to partner up? And I said, okay. And so we did.
And we had never met, I don't think. Had we met? Nope, we'd never met.
Nope. Wow. And then we found out we had the same kind of car. And then
really?
We had a couple meetings. And then I'm just going to cut to right to, we got this meeting for this TV show.
Gilmore Girls.
For Warner Brothers.
Yes.
Yeah, because it was not the CW at the time, right?
Was the show called Gilmore Girls at the time?
Yes.
Okay.
Always. So we were meeting the executive producer and the writer, creator.
Amy Sherman Palladino.
Pallading Dong.
Is that for real, like ASP. A nickname she has?
I call her ASP. I think, do you call her Pallading Dong to her face?
No, but she might hear this. I love you, Amy. We love you.
ASP.
And then this other gentleman who was the executive producer at the time, named Gavin Pallone, mm-hmm. also a delight. Long story short, we have this meeting. I don't know who I'm meeting. I'm just going in going, okay, this I like the script. This is fun. And do you want to cut to what Amy was wearing?
Yes. Okay. Amy first of all, if being in any of offices that Amy Sherman Palladino resides in is a wonderful
experience.
Acidy, mushroomy, lots of pink trip. Okay. She's got amazing taste. But we were, at the time, her office was in a big ass trailer. You know, we were all in trailers at that first season, and she had that trailer decked out, and there was pink, and there was crazy, wonderful shit everywhere.
It was like House of the Rising Sun, basically.
Yes.
I don't know, but I'll say yes since Jamie okay. did. So she's wearing black fishnets, combat boots, a black mini skirt, and a black t-shirt that said, I fucked your boyfriend last night.
And a hat. And a always a hat.
Classic hat.
So we're like, she's awesome.
Wow.
And long story short, we have a meeting. We leave the meeting. I feel pretty good about it, but it's funny because what happens, actors, this tends to happen that they like go on an audition and then they leave and they're like, ooh, I think I did well. What do you think? Are they going to call? Are they not going to call? And all of a sudden I felt the like anxiety that you feel. Plus this would have been our first big job.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, do you think they'll call? Like, what's going to happen? I don't know. And we go to lunch, and I'm like, nervous wreck. And then we did get a call. I don't know how soon after.
Gavin called you.
So Gavin called me, and he literally said this. Hey, Jamie, you guys got the job. Don't fuck it up. Yep. That was it. And
I don't think
cut
we did.
To 7 years yeah, on
I don't
the Gilmore
think,
Girls,
I don't
which
think
was
we fucked it up.
I don't think
seven
you did
of
either.
The greatest years.
Yeah, it was absolutely the highlight of my professional life.
Oh. Yeah, I would concur.
Yeah.
I mean, I like what I'm doing now, but that was fun for
but
seven
it was,
years.
Yeah, sorry.
What made it stand out as such like a positive professional experience for the both of you? Other than like the obvious, like the fandom and the acclaim and whatnot, but just
well,
about working on
acclaimed.
It.
Well, it was critically acclaimed.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't, you know, it was critically acclaimed, but it wasn't the resurgence you guys are going through with the release of Netflix and your show. We weren't really experiencing that. I mean, maybe the actors were. I think David Sutcliffe since said he was in Brazil or Argentina or something once. And, you know, people found a lot of, like, people charging them when they were in Europe, which was interesting. But I don't know that we really discussed a lot with the actors.
You know, I don't think we realized back then. I mean, everywhere I went or I said to someone, oh, I'm what are they're like, what are you working on? I said, oh, this show called The Gilmore Girls. We love that show. And I now, all these years later, I hear so many people who say, oh my God, you worked on Gilmore Girls. That was like my favorite show. My mom and I watched it together. Like
yeah,
it was our thing that we did every week. Now I'm a bit older and like I'll have younger people who work for us or intern and they're like, oh yeah, when I was in junior high and I was like, oh wow. Okay, that was a long time ago and I am old, but that's okay.
What was special for me is that, and I feel that we were very successful in knowing exactly the type of actor that Amy would respond to, whether it was in a general or one word out of a pre-read. Casting was different and auditions were different, much different, of course. Tape wasn't even really involved at that time.
Yeah, I was about to ask. Like,
yeah, never
what were the
tape, never, never. And oh, you know, wow. you're doing hard copy. You have stacks and stacks of hard copy pictures you're going
Headshots,
through.
Yeah.
Remember seeing what Melissa McCarthy? I remember where I was in the trailer when I saw Melissa McCarthy's picture. And that whole experience, like it was not completely in focus. her head was kind of off to the side, bob, black. This was back in black and white headshots. And, you know, I flipped it over and I see, you know, a lot of improv and comedy. I'm like, okay, sure, great. You know, fabulous, wonderful. But what was what I feel is so special and I'm so proud of is just I feel we got her and we got her. And the
meaning
quirky,
Amy.
Yes, got yeah. her style yeah. and her world. And we
but she also wrote great characters. But we would present people that, like, these are fun. Here's the thing, like the example of Melissa McCarthy. We read a ton of people. Great people. But then Melissa McCarthy came in. And it's just who she is. She has a voice. She has a thing. And that's happened with a lot of other people. Sean Gunn. Like, all these actors who just came in and had their own thing that Amy also, like, responded to and then immediately was like, I can write to this. I mean, Sally Struthers, Liz Torres. These people that were just, for her, so much fun to write for.
And I, being older than Jamie, when I don't remember if Sally was submitted or not for yes. She submitted, yeah. but I mean we even read Charlene Tilton for that part. I know you guys are too young, but she was on a show called Dallas.
Yeah.
Okay,
yes.
She was the original.
Yeah, right. not the
you probably you probably weren't born, but so it made I got a lot of pleasure out of bringing in actors who I grew up watching, like what's his name? Who's the actor who played Schneider on One Day at a Time? But or little Leslie
Jordan.
Leslie Jordan, like all these amazing actors who I grew up watching. And I was really tickled that I really pushed for Sally and getting her in. And I think she might have driven in from Las Vegas because she was doing one of those Patsy Cline shows or something. But, I mean, that turned out to be...
But it also was a great testament to the fact that on a show for the CW, which is known for, you know, young...
Mm-hmm. And the WB at the time.
And the WB, but young, attractive people, which we had plenty of. But also the fact that we created this world with these fun... That was... For me, the most fun is finding those quirky, fun characters. I mean, the cute guys didn't
That's
suck.
Fun. Yeah, cute guys are always fun.
The
but
stable
the quirky...
of hot WB boys.
Yeah.
But they had to act.
Yeah.
And they were good.
And actually, I mean, growing up with the show, because Demi's watching for the first time.
I know. I want to hear about that.
Yes. But growing up watching the show, the thing, oddly, that attracted to me to the show so much was that it was a show on WB, but like so many of the actors were like, it was Kelly Bishop and Ed
yes.
Herman and Struthers. And like,
yes.
it was like half of the regular cast was probably over 35 or 40.
Yes.
I mean, my math's probably off, but like yes. it really attracted me. That wasn't just like the hunky newcomers coming to town again,
yeah.
or you know.
Speaking yeah. of hunky newcomers,
yes.
Padalecki. List, can we tell? Can
yeah,
I tell
you want to hear the Padalecki story?
We all have
names for all of them. Okay, so Jared is Jared Pettischmuckles.
So Padalecki walks in, and this is during a pre-read session, and he has a hair. I think his hair
Wait,
was parted.
Hold, please. Okay,
yeah.
Wait, real quick. I'm just going to back up because at this time,
yeah.
we hadn't even started. We had to recast the role
Suki.
Of Dean for the third time.
Okay.
It was their third Dean, our first casting of a Dean.
Were the
but
first
in,
two guys
was,
notable actors? Will we
one
know who they were?
One kid was on a Chad? Reality show, in, an actor reality show, I think, on A&E, and another actor was a Canadian actor.
Okay.
Yeah. But basically, we had to. But the importance at the time was to cast Suki because she was a series regular.
Right.
So we were knee deep in casting Suki. This was the first role we had to cast for Amy. We like. I don't even think we had had a producer session. It's a scary thing. Like, okay, we hope these act. You know, we bring in a host of actors. We hope Amy responds. What if she doesn't and says, "I don't like your taste"? But
okay, so we're in. Jamie gets a call from a manager and says, "I've had this kid in town for a little while from Texas. Will you see him?"
Ooh,
and she's like, "Sure, whatever." Yeah. So he comes in and he walks in the door, tall, gets hair parted, you know, down the middle, like whatever. And he opened his mouth, and I was like, "Oh my God." This kid, and at the time he was 17. I was like, this kid. So we read him, and we might have given him an adjustment, and then Jamie busts ass, runs out of the trailer, grabs Amy, and says, you have to meet this kid. And she's like, what? So we bring Amy in, he does the audition, and she stops, and she takes a beat, and she's like, it can't be this easy, read more guys.
Well, no, she said, this isn't fair. You can't find the guy on the first try. It was the first actor we ever auditioned in front of her.
Oh, wow.
And And
it was Ardeen. And then I remember when he tested, it was either his studio test or the actual test. It was his birthday, so we bought him a cupcake. We bought him a pastry. Oh.
We did?
We did, because we're awesome.
We took Alexis to a play. Remember, she was just in town. She hadn't met many people, so we took her downtown to see, we took her to a play.
At the Taper?
Yep.
No recollection of that.
Yeah. She didn't know many people.
She's a doll, an absolute doll. That
we took her to a play.
Yeah, also anyway. From Texas as well. I just put that together.
And Spanish.
Mm-hmm.
Argentinian.
Yeah, secretly.
Right, Argentinian. Yeah.
Secretly, she's not.
Well, you wouldn't.
Right,
you wouldn't know.
You wouldn't think.
It's not a.
So Padalecki first
got out of the gate.
And you said there was like a studio test. Talk about that.
So what you do when you're doing a series regular, and again, this is what we did then. It's a little different now. But what you do is you have your hundreds and hundreds of people who pre-read. You have your producer sessions. The creator and says, I'd like to start a test deal on this person. So a test deal is a negotiation of what that actor's salary is going to be. In the interim, the actor comes back and does a work session with the director of the episode and then does a studio test and either gets thumbs up or thumbs down. And if it's thumbs up, they move on to the network test.
Studio test is basically an audition in front of the muckety-mucks from the studio, like, you know, creative, all the executives mm-hmm. and casting and, yeah. And then they can say, yeah, no, we don't think you found it. Keep going.
And then
the film is shown to the network rather than them having to come in and audition. With comedies, it's a little different because they like to have the energy in the room.
True.
But dramas, a lot of time, they're taping it now. So, you know, there's that.
Yeah, it's a lot of hoops to jump. And you have pages. I mean, sometimes we would count hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of actors that you've pre-read. And it's not uncommon. And Jamie and I were warrior pre-readers. And I know a lot of casting directors just like to keep bringing in their favorite, you know, actors. You know, if they have pre-reads, they'll only pre-read actors from reputable, that was me doing air quotes, reputable, in their opinion, agencies. We were never like that. We wanted to meet anyone who looked right or had a really strong theater background. And that's where you find the stars. I mean, that's where you find the stars. Hi, Melissa McCarthy doing just fine. You know,
exactly. Right. And there does seem to be across the board kind of a high theater background for a lot of the people on the show, from like Scott Cohen, Max Medina.
Yes. Delicious. Kelly Bishop, of course.
Delicious.
Ed Herman.
Is that his nickname?
That's Jamie's nickname.
I've got a lot of nicknames for Scott Cohen. Hi, Scott Cohen. You know I love you. I'm
going to
be in New York next weekend. Just kidding. All right.
Okay. So that was the... Going back to kind of like the process of recasting those certain roles of the pilot. So you read Jared, you read Melissa. Was Melissa one of the first people you read, or did
no.
that take
it was
some
kind
time?
Of mid. It was she was kind of mid to late. But what was funny is another actress named Melanie Paxson, who we had read the day before, said, "You know what? You should read our this girl at Groundlings, Melissa McCarthy." And we're like, "Oh, she's set up. She's coming in tomorrow."
Yeah,
and she did. I mean, you use the term. I was pissed myself, or I was going to piss myself. I read with her, and I could not keep my – I didn't piss myself, but it was like one of the first times I couldn't get through a reading because she was so fucking funny and weird and fabulous. And that was one of my fears that of me as it kept going on, like, Mara, keep your shit together and do not laugh. Like, I probably laughed in producer session, but, like, come network or whatever, like, I remember marching by her, and I'm like, don't fuck it up, you know, and then she would do an imitation of me saying, don't fuck it up, just because we were so excited mm-hmm. about her. But I think at that time I had got my shit together, but the first time I really, really thought I was going to pee, she was making me laugh so hard.
And the idea of you not wanting to laugh during the audition process, is that to express neutrality, or is it just professionalism?
No, because you don't want to... Professionalism.
Yeah.
Okay.
You don't want to screw up the actor as well.
No. Right.
Because this is their big... Right,
it's their time
for that. Yeah, it's their time, not ours, to be you're funny. We like you. You should be cast. Yeah.
Gotcha. Yeah. Okay, so you cast Dean.
Yes.
You cast Suki.
Yes.
And then the pilot goes to series.
Yes.
And then what is the process for on an episode to episode basis, especially for this show where there's so many different secondary characters and recurring townies that pop up? Like, what is the process for each of those episodes?
Gilmore Girls was an interesting process because the scripts came very late. And by late, it can be as late as the first day of shooting. So what you do is you take, we got into a pattern by this. We didn't know this at the beginning. We were at our desk ready to rock, and there was no script, so there was a lot of downtime. So we did a lot of generals. So we got into that rhythm of late scripts. We understood it. It didn't fuck us up. It does affect every department, and every department needs to adjust to support a script that might not be on, you know, delivered when it's asked to be delivered. So we would take old material, we would get break outlines of what was coming up, and then we would get confirmation from producers or writers, this guy is going to be in, we got rid of the lady at the nursery, you know, so we have a heads up of what we might have to cast. So we do breakdowns, we do pre-reads on what might have to be cast with old material, and then when we get the material, present, that's their producer session.
Wow. Man. So there was a lot of guesswork that had to go on.
A little bit. But we also, the other thing is we would bring, the great thing is that we'd bring in a lot of different types and things, and Amy would respond to people, maybe not for that part, but she's like, we got to find something for that guy. You know, right. Like, I like that guy. We got to find something for him, like Tank.
Tank Said, who
she loved Tank because he came in with no shoes on.
What was his character? He was in the Brigade.
He was friends with Nick Holmes.
He was with Nick Holmes, mm-hmm. Tank Said, Alan Loiza. They were Matt Zuckery's friends. Mm-hmm. I think they did about 4 episodes. But Tank was from Australia and came in barefoot with blue nail polish on his toes.
He was reading for Matt's part, and she's like, I love this guy. He's not that character, but I'm going to write something for him. So she did.
We do have there's a fun Sean Gunn story that I want to give Amy or Jamie props to, because Amy's father was an actor in stand-up, and she would say how, you know, he was on like All
give
in the
me
Family.
A break.
Or
was it? I think it was Give Me a Break.
All in the Family, I'm sure.
Maybe it was All
or
in the
Archie
Family.
Or Archie Bunker's Place, those
Maybe,
shows.
One of
and
those.
They just kept bringing him back as different characters. They would
With
just put a
hats.
Different hat on. So he's Bill in this episode. Yeah. He's got that hat. So, you know, that resin, that, you know, that sat with us. So the first time we brought Sean in for the cable guy, you know, he got
Sean
Mick. Hart.
Yeah. Yes.
He got the part.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
and then,
wow.
And then we had the next episode, we had Swan Guy.
Swan Delivery Guy.
And Jamie we had a good session for it, but Jamie suggested, what about Sean Gunn?
Because Amy had said, I love that guy. I can't stop thinking of his voice.
And I said, give it to Sean. No, but there was a discussion about he'll be like your dad. We'll just make him a different, you know, every episode. I think Amy said in that session, maybe he's the guy who can't hold a job, because first he's the cable guy, then he's the swan guy.
That's how that got started.
And so Jamie was smart enough to say he can be like your father was, you know, back in the day. And then that turned into a nice.
She said, let me think about it over the weekend. And then Monday morning, she's like, cash Sean.
Series regular.
And then he turned into a series regular.
Yeah, series regular.
So he started out as a co-star, like couple line part.
Yeah, but it's,
that
it
was a good
just
scene.
A happy
that
accident.
Was a funny scene. I just saw that recently. That was a good scene.
The swan scene.
No, the cable.
I saw that too.
Great. The DSL.
DSL guy. That's what it was. It was DSL
Nick,
guy.
The DSL guy.
Oh yeah.
And then you even see that with other actors on the show, like Alex Borstein, who played, I believe,
she was the original
three.
She was the original Suki Duke. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Couldn't get out of her Mad TV.
The Mad TV. That would have been a much different role, because they probably would have written it differently to the
actor.
Of course,
Amy writes to the voice of the actor, mm-hmm. for sure.
If they inspire her, for sure.
So was that another situation of Amy going, I like this character, we need to bring her back?
With Alex, she just loved Alex and was so sad that, you know, it didn't
friends.
Work
right.
out.
They were also friends in real life.
So she would just write parts for Alex when Alex was available, and like, I wrote this for Alex.
Yeah.
So that's how that happened.
Drella the harp player, Miss Celine the costumer.
Yes!
You're so good.
And then she was also...
She was the voice.
Well, oh yeah, I want to talk about that too. The voice on the answering machine of, what's his name? The next door neighbor who's super annoying with the sprinklers. Might have been Ted.
That was Jason Kravitz.
That was Jason Kravitz.
I mean, that's not
his
name.
Hey, can you take care of...
Yes.
Can you water my lawn?
Right.
That guy is going out of town. Yeah, that's the actor Jason Kravitz, who's everywhere all the time, too. Friend of Jamie's out of New York. Yeah, that was fun.
I saw him the other night, actually.
Where,
I saw
here?
Him at UCB, yeah.
Probably.
Yeah, he was just watching a show.
Yeah,
with his wife. Anyway.
Yeah.
So I'm sorry, what was your...
Just like the voicemail situation, because Alex left a voicemail. She was his hellish ex-wife.
Really? Yeah.
And then also leaving a voicemail, kind of a voice cameo, was Seth MacFarlane.
Yes, and he did
the lawyer,
as well as the episode. Yeah, as well as it was a graduation episode.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Was that his first on-screen role?
I don't know, because Dan, Amy Sherman Palladino's husband, was on The Family Guy. Mm-hmm. And so they were also friends outside. So whenever Dan and Amy are extremely loyal, and so whenever they could give a friend a role, they had a relationship with Buffalo Lee.
Grant Lee Phillips?
Yeah, they had a relationship. So they were like, where can we put in Grant Lee, mm-hmm. you know, and other, you know, friends of theirs. So that was just a fun thing for them to do. And I don't know if it was his first on camera role.
You guys are kingmakers, I think is what we're saying.
That was all Dan Palladino. Yeah. That wasn't Jamie Mara.
We could take credit for a few peeps, but maybe not him.
Sure.
Not him. Wish we could, but no.
Well, definitely Padalecki.
Patta Schmuckles,
who is like, we were talking about, like the king of the WBCW.
That child has not stopped working since he's 18. Yeah. He has two children now.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
And Zookie Duke.
Zookie Duke,
what a classy fella!
Let's talk about casting.
I will, because it was in my camp. Mm-hmm. That was a weird thing that happened on a hiatus.
Oh really?
That was going into season whatever. Do you know?
Five.
Okay, and we were on hiatus, and there was back and forth communication between Amy, and I believe she was worried that we weren't going to find someone for this part. We didn't have enough time. So I sent her Matt Zuckery's reel, and she fell in love with him.
Mm-hmm.
Fell in love with him. And did he have to do any sort of test?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Oh, he did? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. But that kid, what a class act, giving us flowers every year.
Really?
Yeah.
He was so grateful. Yeah, we love him.
Yeah, but Amy fell in love with him from that tape, and then, you know, it was relaxed. I don't recall who auditioned against him. I'm sorry, I don't have. You know who else auditioned? I mean, Chris Pine did audition
for
young Christopher.
Oh, that totally makes sense.
That's a good story.
I actually want to ask you about the casting for the young people.
Versions.
Yeah. Specifically about Chelsea Brummett, because we had talked a lot about why we think she was cast and whether. Do you guys think that when casting that, was it like we need someone who matches Lorelai in cadence and speaking, or essence, did you need a.
Probably the essence or. Yes.
And the look, for sure.
Right.
Yeah. I actually went online a few weeks ago, but I've been so busy. I was trying to find the name of the actor who played young Christopher. Because I couldn't recall, because I thought it would be fun to tell you that Chris Pine auditioned at that time, and he might have been the second choice, but I can't recall. But Jamie and I did get him his first agent. Who he was with for many years, and he continues. Someone else just told me he was talking about us. He continues to talk about us, which is so amazing, because I saw him in a play a few years ago, and I was like, why do you keep talking about us? Because I love you for it, but what the hell did we do? He's like, you guys set the bar. That was my first audition. You know, we had a general with him, and then
His dad auditioned first,
and Robert Pine,
who's wonderful a delight. Actor,
and he's like,
what did he audition
he said
for?
He auditioned for I don't know,
young
I don't
Christopher
remember.
As well.
But he said, he's like, you one know what, Richard's you ladies friend. Are delightful. I have a question. My son just graduated from college.
He just got out of Williamsburg. He's finished doing Williamsburg Theater.
I think he's real talented, but I'm his dad. But would you guys ever sit down with him and say hi? And we're like, sure.
So we called him at home. We had Chris Pine's phone number, you guys.
And you lost it.
I know.
But he's very grateful and down to earth. And he said, you set the bar. That was the best experience. I compared every experience past that, you know, that I've had in my life to that. And that is, you don't get a lot of credit as a casting director. You don't get a lot of credit behind the scenes generally. And when someone appreciates you, it means the world. It just means the world to you. Handwritten note. Don't need any brownies. But even when you get little cards and like a handwritten thank you note, it's a beautiful thing.
Yeah. So a tip to all the actors out there
yes.
who want to play nice with casting directors. Handwritten notes, flowers every year.
Flowers every year. Well, no, don't break the bank. But if something, you know, sometimes when you cast pilots, series regulars would send you flowers or, you know,
a
nice
lot of
baskets.
Times they don't. But anyway, but I will say a handwritten note just in general. Not just to actors, anyone else
totally.
Out there listening. Hey guys, remember how you can write a letter and send it in the mail? What's better than going to your mailbox
and not
just having all bills, but like, what's this?
Right.
My goodness, it's a letter.
Or a check.
So old school. Well, we love the checks.
Yeah.
Let's be honest.
A residual for a penny.
A check and a letter combo?
That's a double whammy.
Insane.
Not bad, guys. Not bad.
I've been doing the thing. I got a typewriter about a year ago, and I've been typing out old like letters, but it's a cursive font typewriter.
I know exactly what
super,
you're talking about.
Oh, it's so cool.
Is it blue or brown, or is it gray?
It's I think it's teal and
it's
tan.
Teal. Ooh, you got a good antique.
Yeah, I'm very happy with it. Shout out to Etsy. Why not?
Good purchase.
Yeah. But yeah, we use it for a lot of our Instagram.
For all your creative needs.
Mm-hmm.
All right. All right. So how has it been watching the Gilmore Girls?
I have been loving it.
Really? Wait, where are you guys? You're pretty far in now, right?
Yes, we're...
almost done?
Tomorrow... No, not any... We maybe just got halfway. We are on season 4, episode 3. We're doing tomorrow.
The problem is that we're almost halfway done.
Yeah.
And at this rate, we'll be done by March of next year, at which point we won't have a show anymore.
Do you think you'll continue this with another show?
Well, we're going to do Bunheads after this.
Great.
Nice. Yeah.
That'll be
so
fun.
So the funny thing is we weren't the main casting directors on Bunheads. But we both worked on Bunheads.
In what capacity?
We worked with the casting director, Jeannie Bacharach.
That'll be fun. Sutton Foster's an amazing woman. Amazing woman.
Mm-hmm.
Little dancer Matisse Love. I'm sure she'd love to come talk to you.
Of course, Stacey,
they all will.
We've had
great.
On the show.
Oh, yeah. You guys and Stacey are tight on social mm-hmm. media, yeah. I noticed.
Super tight.
She's best friends.
Yeah.
Nice.
That's great.
Her and St. Clair got into a fist fight after our live show.
Whoa.
Really
no.
did
no,
they?
No, they didn't.
How did the live show go?
It went really well.
I think pretty well.
Yeah.
It's hard because we wrote a rap for the beginning of it to do, all about like recapping season 3. And now I feel like people are going to expect some sort of musical component every time.
Something.
And we will do something, but it's just like it's
Why don't
a lot.
You guys should bring on like Grantley Phillips or someone or
we
the
would
Naked
love
Trucker.
To. We need to get in
the
touch.
Naked
get
Trucker.
Them.
Get the Naked Trucker on.
The
he
Naked
wasn't,
Trucker.
Yes. He played the grocery guy. He was the...
He's got three names, and I'm totally drawing a look. Dave Allen Gruber. Dave Allen Gruber.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Gruber.
You guys
it.
Don't know about the Naked Trucker? He has a band.
Well, he and Dave Koechner had a stand-up comedy musical thing called Naked Trucker.
So,
it was really
oh,
good.
Oh, yeah,
get
yeah,
on
yeah.
That. Yeah, uh-huh. Gruber
if,
would be a great guest.
If you need help.
If you want to casting direct our live shows... We would not be opposed.
yeah.
We could
well,
do that easily if you need
you know,
help. Yes.
You know, I'm sure Todd Lowe would love to do it, and he
Get
has a
band
great
together.
Band.
We've been... Oh,
he has a great band,
band himself,
L.A.
Yeah.
Hooten. I mean, no, he's a great singer, songwriter. Hilarious and talented. Mm-hmm. And then Hep Alien. Get Cabrera and Todd
and
Lowe
Sebastian
and get Keiko
Bach.
Back.
He will do
Sebastian
it.
Sebastian Bach will do it.
Yeah.
Yeah, we can... If you have any issue, we'll reach out.
That's the dream is like to get Hep Alien together for like a show at Largo or
they'll
something.
They'll do it.
It'd
they'll,
be so fun.
They would totally do it. Yeah. But I don't think Cabrera plays the guitar, does he?
I don't think
John plays the guitar.
It's okay. He can stand there and pretend.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but was he syncing to Daniel Palladino playing it off screen?
No, he was syncing to Dave Rogalski. Helen Pye's husband.
Oh, that's right. Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah.
Got the names mixed
Adam
up.
Brody's character's
yes,
name.
Yes, exactly.
Which is so funny.
Yeah. I bet they would love that. Mm-hmm. Hep Alien would, I think Sebastian lives in New York, but I know that Todd and all those guys are in touch with him.
I don't
they
know.
Would,
he just did a movie. I signed on to do the movie because they're like, and Sebastian Bach's going to be in it. And then I will do the movie. I will cast it. He did a day.
Keiko and he are tight, so mm-hmm. you could get the Hep Alien together. Also, I mean, I'm sure you're going to... What time are you guys going to be there for the Gilmore Girls
reunion?
To do?
The actual like
Austin?
Big panel thing?
For sure.
Yes, we will be there.
Well, I know Cabrera is going to be there for a few days, mm-hmm. you know, and I think Todd is as well, and Todd is from Texas, so he knows Austin well. So
many people in this cast from Texas. So many.
It's like going home for them.
Jared... Todd, Alexis. He lives there, right?
Karen? I think he probably has houses in Texas and Canada, you know, he's got the real money.
The house that Supernatural built.
The houses. Gilmore Girls and Supernatural. Yeah.
I heard a rumor that may or may not be true.
Mm-hmm.
Did Liza Weil read for Rory?
She did.
Yes.
Okay. And so was it one of those situations where it's like, we love you, you're great, just not for this, come back?
Yep.
Amy
loved her.
Loved Liza. And, and she had been in a movie that Gavin had produced as well. So Liza was on their radar and they just said, you know, we want Liza Weil to be Paris. Mm-hmm. And she's lovely. She's a lovely woman.
Yeah, what a get.
And we could talk her into doing your show too.
That wouldn't be bad. Demi might cry.
I might cry. No, Paris is my favorite character.
Yeah, just for a little background, he's in love with Paris and I'm in love with Emily myself.
I know, you're so in love with Emily.
you really are.
To the point where I love
listening to you talk about Emily. You're like, her outfits,
and she's gorgeous. She's a gorgeous lady. I saw her when I was a kid in Chorus Line.
You saw the original Broadway?
Wow, that's how old I am.
Oh, my God.
I just like that you guys have tastes like outside the Lorelai Rory box, if you will.
Of course. I mean, they're great and they're the leads, but I think the ones, even growing up, my favorite was always Emily. Actually, we haven't gotten to it this season, but the one where she lets a little loose this season.
I covered my ears.
Was that the spa one?
The one of silence. Yeah.
No, that's cool.
Anyway, that one's great. I know, we're trying to respect spoilers. At this level,
I'm just like, whatever. Like, I just want to talk about the show in general, and it's hard to do.
Do you want to know it's something fun, though, seriously?
Yeah.
Yes.
That I just went to my, because this has something to do with this, I just went to my first book club today.
Mm-hmm.
I read the wrong book.
Oh.
What book was assigned and what did you read?
I don't even remember what the name of the book that was assigned was, but I read a book called Perfume. But it's the same thing. We're like, spoiler alert, because they were talking. I'm like, just go ahead and talk about the book because I can't.
There's nothing.
You can't not talk about it. Right. And they're like, but you're going to learn why the book got so crazy. And I'm like, I read the wrong book. So that was fun.
So going back to the show just for a little bit.
Yes.
When casting romantic interest for Lorelai, for Lauren Graham, I have to imagine that's a very unenviable position to be in.
Well, it's hard because back in that day, you know, movie guys weren't doing television. And so to get, you know, who is Amy always saying? Like someone who's a movie guy? I'm blanking on to get like a Matt Dillon, you know, not that that was someone that she wanted, but
Dermot.
That vibe. But that it's hard because it's the same group of guys, because we were reading like Jeffrey Dean Morgan, who went on to have leads of many television shows, but he really popped, I think, on Grey's Anatomy. Right. Everyone discovered Jeffrey
Steamy?
Dean.
He was Denny.
No, Jeffrey Dean Morgan recurred, and that's how he got, that's how his career took off. But we were, you know, you read those same mid-30s to early 40s or mid-40s guys, it's a list. It's kind of the same guys. And to get movie guys, nope, no TV. You used to get a lot of that. But now, of course, everything's much different, especially if it's like an HBO show. You know, everybody wants to do that. You know, the climate has changed over the years. It's about good material and like a Cable or a Breaking Bad or something. Everything, you know, they want to be on that. So,
but even I have to, you know, and then there were the guys that I was happy about this, but I kept, before Gilmore Girls, I worked on a few other shows and we kept bringing this guy in and he always got so close and he would test for something, but he was always the second choice. And I'm like, but he's so good. I love this guy. He's good looking. He's like, ugh. And then we finally brought him in for Gilmore Girls and he got cast. That was John Hamm. And the funny part about that is that once John Hamm got Mad Men.
Yes, Mad Men.
Yeah, I was thinking my other show.
Mad Max.
Once he got Mad Men, everyone's like, who's this guy? Where's he been? Oh my goodness, he's so great. And we're like, no, he's always been great. No one's just taken the chance. And I remember running into him shortly after he got that. And I was like, dude, I am so happy that it's like it's you got what you deserve because you are awesome. I mean, I've always just loved the guy. And so that's so awesome when you see that, like, it was the right time. And, you know, but he's been around and he's awesome. And, you know, that was fun. But he was one of those guys that was on that list for those kind of roles.
And it's so funny, too, that on the show, for as much like natural charisma as he has as Don Draper and other roles, like that he plays like the most boring dude.
Yeah. No, well, that wasn't a very sparkly, gratifying guest star part.
Right.
Right. Yeah.
So there's that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But that must happen all the time. Like, even have you watched 404 yet?
I have not.
Well, but I mean,
what happens in 404?
Oh, just like the idea of Max Greenfield plays one of
yes. That dude came in stone to the audition. I swear
is that
to
true?
God, and really? I think I said you're getting a call back, and I think I told his agent have him not smoke pot maybe when he comes back.
That's so funny.
But he had his little hat on. He had his little beaner hat, and I was like, he's so fucking high.
Didn't think he was high. I just thought he was cute,
and he was
his first. I think we Taft Hartley'd him, Mara.
We you know, Jerrica Hinton, who's on Grey's Anatomy, just tweeted that we gave her first job, and I didn't realize that. I thought her first job was on the Chris Rock show. But so, you know, we've given a lot of people their first jobs. But
and that must be gratifying.
It is. That's awesome. All casting directors have those stories, of course.
Yeah.
Like, I made this person who they are.
See, what I always say when people are like, you discovered so-and-so, I'm like, I didn't discover anyone. We were just lucky enough to meet them at the right time. Like Melissa McCarthy, she had done stuff before us.
She
was in a great movie.
That's right. The supermarket movie.
Yeah.
Go. That short movie, God, too?
Yeah, she had done some stuff for sure.
Go and
go. And it's just that that's the thing. Like, if she didn't fit the right part for Gilmore Girls, she was going to fit something else, obviously.
Someone would have else put her on.
I never say I've discovered anyone.
Right.
But I say we just get lucky enough to find these people.
Right. Like, and there's a bit of a roulette to it as well, because even if, like, you find the person, you're stoked on them and all the producers agree, and then someone at the network or studio level could say no.
Yes.
That's how it is now, but it wasn't like that before.
Really?
When we were doing Gilmore Girls, there were no no's. The network and studio only got involved with series regulars. And then towards the end, they started to get a little bit involved for recurring.
Okay. Like near the end of Gilmore Girls, you're saying?
That's when casting started to change.
But these days, you have to get every role approved by the studio and network.
That's crazy.
It's
like even the like cop that says, hello.
It's ridiculous.
You want a donut?
It's ridiculous. On some, there are some shows, I think, and there are some shows that get away with having creative control. But so much creative control has been taken away as the years have gone by.
Right. Well, because I was going to ask if it's in a way easier because there's a bigger pool to draw from because more people from features will want to do TV. But then at the same time, if there's more interference from a higher up level.
Well, there's more pressure actually to get those people now.
Yeah.
Because so
they think
now there's high expectations of like, you know, you have to get a name person that's recognizable, you know, in these parts. And that can be...
It's disappointing.
It's just difficult. It makes your job a little bit more difficult because there's also some amazing actors out there who don't quite have that name yet, who are awesome and fit the role perfectly.
Yeah, but they're of the mindset. They're in a money mindset where we're in a creative mindset, and you know, recognizable or name notoriety, that means something to them more than are they right for the part? Is it the best person for the role? And that's where I get.
But it's also it's just the way times have changed with, you know, media and social media and all of that, because that's a selling point where back then the internet, the World Wide Web was not as, the access to all of that information was not as popular. And so now being able to tweet or on for any show or anything and publicize, it gets out there to everyone so much more now, so I understand from a selling point, but it makes our job more difficult.
Mm-hmm.
But I still love my job.
And it's hard, too, that idea of, like, it's got to be a name, because without that, you don't, you know, Aaron Paul's not a name.
Correct.
There could, but no one
he
else
wasn't
could play
a
Jesse.
Name.
Right.
He,
exactly.
Now he's
he
a name.
Now he's
he
a name.
He auditioned for us. He was with the Savage Agency. Hi. Savage Agency.
Wait, did he audition for Gilmore?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
What else?
Yeah. I remember. Yeah, I mean, every, wow. He was just a kid. He was a kid then. He was young. I don't remember. I remember.
You
we
know
were
who else
our...
auditioned for Gilmore Girls?
Who's that?
Remember that story? I had met a guy on a very small independent feature I was doing, and I was obsessed with him. And I'm like, Mara, Amy, you guys are going to, no, this guy is a huge star. You're going to love him. And he was nice enough to come in to read, and he wasn't who he is now. But he came in to read for us for like a football guy, and he so wasn't the football guy. But I'm like, no, this guy is brilliant, you guys. And they're like, we don't get it. And I just knew he wasn't a right, the right fit for Gilmore mm-hmm. Girls. His name was Ryan Gosling.
Whoa.
Oh, I was like, you guys, no, I met this guy. And you
Ryan
guys.
Ryan Gosling auditioned for Gilmore Girls?
100%.
And then he went on to play a football
first
guy
season.
In Remember
Wait,
the
first
Titans.
Season.
Are
yes.
you fucking kidding
no.
me? So I've been in a room with him twice, once at Aroma Cafe and once in Gilmore Girls.
No, I kept selling him. I was like overselling him so much. I'm like, Amy, I'm telling you, you're not going to believe this guy. Mara, you're going to die. He's amazing. And he came in. And again, I think he was just being sweet because like we had met on this little independent yeah. feature
oh my God.
That never went. It was this great, cool indie that like Milo came in on, James Franco, all these guys.
All the bad
but
boys.
It was all the bad
that
was good.
That was that was good times back when all those boys before all those boys were famous. That was fun casting.
Yeah, they were it was all before. But yeah, so he came
line.
In and he just isn't a he doesn't have the Gilmore Girls vibe. So it didn't so he didn't so feel
I
it. I don't think
show.
He felt it and he didn't put in the football thing. And he knew it wasn't the right fit. And Amy was like,
"Are you? I don't think. Do we cast
100%?
It was a basketball.
Whatever it was, 100%. I will find the sheet.
Where's
with his
the? Is
name
it,
on
do
it.
You guys have like a? Do you have burning questions? Like something yeah. you're just like, I wish I knew. ... I wonder about ...
I was going to ask about the John Hamm thing. I don't know. Just like other. There's just so many fun, different people that you see where it's like they were not. Notariable at right. that point. Is notariable a word?
Notable.
It notable was, at that point. Like Nick Offerman playing Jackson's
oh,
brother.
Oh, the off. I knew him from Chicago. Yeah,
yeah,
I, knew
him
yeah.
From
yeah
Chicago.
I knew him from Chicago.
Good fun. Oh, and you know who else?
Rusty Schwimmer. What?
These are a lot of people Mara knew from Chicago. Awesome people. Jane Lynch.
Jane Lynch.
I had
oh,
her
the
sign.
Nurse. Yes.
I was obsessed with...
Tracy Letts came into audition.
Mm-hmm. I was obsessed with Best in Show.
Mm-hmm.
And all the movies.
Of course.
And I had the poster. And I made Jane sign it because I was so excited. And Jane since then has been so amazing because she actually has become the our host. I'm on the board of an animal rescue organization. And so back before Jane had done Glee and all of that stuff, she had been on Gilmore Girls and we needed a host for our race, for our annual race. And I'm like, Jane Lynch might do it because she was in Best in Show and she's fun. And so she's like, I'll totally do it. And I was like, oh my God. And we're like, Jane Lynch, this is amazing. And then year after year, she became more famous every year. And we're like, she's never going to do it this year. I mean, she's just too big. And Lisa, who I work with, is always like, Jamie, is it okay to call? I mean, do you think she'll do it? I'm so nervous. And every year she's like, yeah, I'll be there. She's amazing.
Do you guys, have you guys looked at actors' cast and like, how the hell did they get that part? Were there something
in
you're like, oh,
show?
no.
Not so far, but
not
I feel
really.
Like all the biggest guest stars are people that I'm like, oh, that person's in the future seasons, so. Like
yeah.
Nick Offerman, I didn't know about.
Oh, yeah. He'll,
oh, sorry.
No,
it's fine.
That's
no
not
spoilers.
A spoiler.
Okay.
Unless he dies or something.
No.
I was just fascinated by the process and like what... Like, so for someone like Milo,
yes.
So for casting Jess in
yes.
season two, like all the different factors, or if it's just like with Jared, it's one of those things where he spoke and it was like, boom, okay, he's the guy. Like, it shouldn't be this easy, but it is. But for someone like Milo, where it's so contingent on cast chemistry between him and Alexis, like how many did they have to? Well, yeah. Well, did they have to read with
no,
each other?
No.
It was just alone.
And Milo had done a lot, and he was also, but he was a kid. He was still quite a young kid, and not even as buff as he has become. But he was you know, he was younger then, and he was a bit on my radar. I'd seen him maybe on some other shows, but yeah, that was kind of a no-brainer bringing him in. I do have a funny, it'll be a spoiler for you though. There was going to be a spinoff.
Oh yeah, Windward Circle.
Okay.
Yeah.
Really? Was that what it was called?
Yeah. I believe. All right. By all accounts.
Was there skateboarding and stuff?
There was a skateboarder. Oh, we didn't talk about that. There was a skateboarder scene that got cut out.
Whoa.
It's on YouTube somewhere. You can find it. But we'll have to talk about that later.
So we had to cast Jess's dad. And we're going through the stuff. And I'm like, you know what, Amy? I said in a producer session, I said, Scott Baio. And she laughed at me. She's like, Scott Baio? And I was like, Scott Baio. Scott Baio is one of the best auditioners I've ever seen anyway. Wow. He came in and he read. And Amy's like, you're fucking right. There it is. And done. And we get to, the studio and the network. And they don't want to have anything to do with him.
No.
Because of...
Chachi.
No.
Charles in charge.
Oh,
really?
And they want...
That's funny that you guys would say Chachi because most younger people will say, oh, of course, Charles in charge.
Because that's more 80s.
Yeah. So that's what I would
have executive said. Types have it in their head because they didn't like Charles in charge that Scott Baio, perfect casting for the dad and a great audition. And then they wanted their, what's his name? He's really nice.
Rob Estes,
who just came and read for us. He's so great.
He's really, really, really a nice fellow. But I fully cried in the parking lot after the test. And
Mara gets emotional.
The woman who was the head of casting, she's like, pull it together. But I was like, I just wanted to yell at all of them. Amy fought really hard. Amy fought really hard for him. But to please the network, they want more of the... look, and Scott Baio was fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
He was so good.
But Rob Estes was probably more traditionally.
Yeah, it was the network's idea.
And he was, no.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It also probably would have been a little distracting because there's that scene where Rob Estes drops his wallet. And if you see that as Scott Baio, it's just like, wait, is that Scott Baio?
Scott Baio dropped his wallet.
Yeah. Because they pretend like he's just a background actor at the time. But if you see Scott Baio, you're like, oh, he's someone.
Oh, that's funny.
I have to revisit Gilmore Girls.
But I do remember the day remember the skateboarding day because I went down there and took pictures.
Yeah, I was there. Yeah. We had fun.
That was in Venice?
Yep.
Yeah.
Cool.
It was Venice. And then we shot further south in like Long Beach or something too. There were a couple of locations. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. 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 Yeah.
That the whole spinoff situation. I mean, Amy's commented a little bit about it publicly, but it seemed like a difficult situation because you guys get Milo, he's a series regular, and then they want to ship him off to Venice for his own spinoff, and kind of like take the arc of that character away. And then it didn't go, and the reason cited was production costs because it was going to be too expensive to shoot outside.
Who knows what the real answer was.
But and the thing about that is that Summerland, do you remember that show? Lori Loughlin?
Yes.
On WB? That was like all location shooting. It was just them surfing at the beach for like an hour show.
You never know. There's lots of different stuff.
And you have to publicly maybe give answers that you have to say – You can be honest.
Right.
Right.
It is a business.
You can on this podcast.
Well, there's
are you sure? I'm like, oh, okay, great. Some executives are going to be hearing this. Us saying things.
I don't know. I
love you, executives. Okay.
But there's a lot of dishonesty. There's a lot of sugarcoating. And to get a real answer, or to get real feedback or to be genuine, it's few and far between.
It's hard. So we had, this is one burning question I did have.
Great.
Is we had a gentleman named Jason Mantzoukas on the show.
Yes.
From The League and Parks and Rec. He's written a bunch of features and stuff. And he said that near the end of the show, he did take a meeting with the casting directors. He didn't name you by name, but we have to all but assume it was you guys.
Oh, Lord.
And he
make us look bad.
Jessica Sinclair? Was it the same general?
If he didn't say so.
Okay, then I believe they were together, but continue.
Okay, so they might have been together. But he said he was trying to be funny and make a joke in the meeting, and he pitched him he pitched himself as a character that comes to town and quote unquote plows Rory. And then quote unquote plows Lorelai and then doesn't know. And he said the meeting went really badly because.
Are you kidding? We would have laughed our ass about that. I love how people have different versions of what they think. We would have thought that was hilarious.
Conan. He was on either Conan or Jimmy Fallon recently, still talking. He was talking about bunheads. He has a thing about Amy Sherman Palladino.
Oh, yeah.
And I sent that clip to Amy, and I wonder if he was actually pitching to somebody else. Do you remember that joke? Because that would have been really funny.
I just remember meeting him and thinking it was real funny.
We would have laughed.
Jason, we love you.
Maybe he met with the heads of casting at WB.
Oh, okay. So he did say it was on the WB lot.
Well, we were on the lot too.
Yeah,
and it was in one of the stores.
Did he say there was like old ladies or hot chicks?
It was one of the stores.
Yeah.
Or one of the houses.
He said, ooh, I don't remember.
One of the houses.
We weren't in the house
at that point when we met Jessica St. Clair. She came with, I'm confusing my man that came in with her.
My man's.
But he might have met with creative heads. It might not have been us.
Okay.
But we would have laughed. We totally would have laughed about
Oh,
that.
Yeah. We would have totally laughed and told Amy, like, Jason had this great idea.
Yeah.
But he does. He really wants like bunheads or whatever. He wants to be in Amy's world, it seems.
Yeah.
He loves it. Yeah. So do we. Well, this is all just leading up to the Gilmore Girls season 8 that will happen on Netflix at some point.
Oh, yeah. Or HBO
that
if
would
possible.
Be amazing.
Yeah.
So that we can see Emily kill a man.
I have a gritty reboot. Yes.
Because I've listened to some of the podcasting.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, thank you so much.
You're welcome. So are you going to do season 7 or are you not?
We are.
Absolutely.
We are. I just don't know the format yet because maybe we'll just like lump 2 in an episode. You know what I mean? Because I don't know. Right now.
I think we got to do it the same service we do the rest of it.
That
would be interesting.
Yes, because I know that I've heard that there's people amongst these people in this room that feel like 7 was... not up to par.
Right.
Well, I mean, everybody yes. speaks about that.
Seems
it's
to be
hard
general
when you
consensus.
Take the voice away, the
right.
real voice away from a
yeah,
show.
It's real tough. So what was it like for you guys? I mean, as much as you can talk about it, but like well, working
David,
on it and...
You know, it wasn't quite the same, you know, snappy world or snappy voice, but we were happy to be employed. You know, everybody...
It was still our family, you know, for the most part. It was weird not having mommy and daddy there. But we still love our family. I mean, it was fun. You know, we loved casting the show.
We
no
knew
matter
it
what.
Wasn't. We yeah. I mean, we were employed. That was very important. And everyone, you know. But yes, a voice was missing. You know.
Yeah.
And so it must have been a weird thing too. I assume in season 7, did the scripts come more on time?
I think so.
Yeah.
More than the previous.
I think
yeah.
so.
6 years.
I don't remember.
Do you guys
so
watch the
ago.
Comeback? Was that something on your radar?
With Lisa Kudrow?
Yeah.
I have not. Okay. It's on my list.
Because Lance Barber's done a couple of, did like 2 or 3 episodes for us too. And I just love his character on The Comeback. I didn't know if he was someone on your radar.
Lance Barber.
He plays if you watch The Comeback, he's a writer director who does not get along with her.
And he was on Gilmore?
2 or 3 times. He played 2 different parts.
Okay.
He had a co-star in one, like the first season, or the early on in the season, and then he played a full-on guest star, different. But I thought maybe he'd be on your radar because he's really funny. He seems like somebody you guys would love.
Yeah, no. I don't know if we've gotten to
his
episode.
He was in the episode early on. I think Brenda Strong guest starred, and he was just like a construction guy, and he maybe had 2 or 3 lines.
Yeah,
and then cut to he's
not
a reporter.
Tom,
is he a reporter?
It's not Tom. No.
Reporter at Yale.
Oh, Tom! I love Tom.
We talk about Tom a lot, and I always confuse him with someone else.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know why.
Do you?
I always say, "Is that Bootsy?" And
it's funny because he plays a construction worker.
Tom is our guy, Biff
Yeager.
Biff Yeager.
Biff Yeager. Oh.
What a solid, wonderful actor.
He plays a construction worker on Parks and Rec. As well as one on Bunheads, I believe.
Yes, yeah, so I did bring him back. Yeah. I'm like, can we give it to Biff Yeager? Yes, mm-hmm. we can. Hurrah. Yeah.
It was funny because Bunheads was like an unofficial like season 7 of Gilmore to me because it was like, oh, there's a little bit more closure here. We're going back to that world.
Yeah.
I don't know. I have a lot of complicated feelings about Gilmore ending.
Well, you'll find your new show. You'll get on with Bunheads, and it'll be fun to. I mean, I'm sure like it'd be fun to talk to the choreographer,
Marguerite.
And
the problem is, there's only 18 episodes of that show to cover.
They're like, and let's start, and we're done.
But I don't know. You have such a strong following. Is it? Do you feel that people are? It's all because they're Gilmore Girls fans, or are you bringing? Like, is your popularity the content or the content and you? Can you, you know, or could you ask your audience, what show should we do next or where should we go from here?
We've asked, but I feel like it's like 75 the show, 75 or 75 the show, 25 us, where it's like there are a few people who are coming into it going like, oh, I like these guys. The show is pretty good. And there are a lot of people going, the show is great. These guys are a good supplement to it. So I don't know if it works as well with too many other shows, you know?
Yeah, that's true. I have a question.
This will lead you somewhere.
Can I ask a question? Has anyone asked you this? How and why? How did you guys come together to do this?
Twitter.
Yeah, our origin story. Yeah.
Have
so,
you talked about this? Maybe you have already.
Just a little bit. But like I grew up watching the show and really, really enjoying it. And when it was coming on Netflix, I kind of tweeted half as a joke, half not, that like, oh, who wants to start a podcast called Gilmore Guys, where we watch every episode of Gilmore Girls? And then he tweeted back or Facebook back like, I do. And so 2 weeks later, we record our first episode.
So did you know each other before then?
Yeah, we had been to a few UCB shows together.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Are you performers?
Well, we are now because of this show.
I guess.
Funnily enough, like this is the podcast is the thing that gave us our first main stage show.
Do you have you had Sally Struthers on? Because that'd be a fucking hoot.
I would love to have Sally.
She would totally she would do it.
Let's
Sally
get her.
Be here
we'll
in a heartbeat.
We'll get her here.
Okay.
Do you want us to get her here?
Yes.
Absolutely.
We will connect you.
Yes, she's great. She
that'd be amazing.
Couldn't be any lovelier.
What if we get Sally and Ted Rooney
No, Ted
together?
Lives up north. Ted lives like moved to Oregon.
Right. Sorry, just
years ago.
Well, we want to do a show in Portland, so...
Well, I think he's still listed. We could still find out his agent because he might have an agent up north, but whatever we can do to help you, we will.
That's so amazing. Thank you so much.
That's so terrific.
Oh, one person I did want to ask about was Marion Ross.
Oh my God, that's such a story.
Yes, let's talk about it.
I was on the phone until 2 a.m. with Helen Pye because Marion was in New York. I mean, this is early on.
Yeah. And I had gone out of town.
Every time I went out of town, the shit hit the fan. Every time. Yeah. And this was one of those times. Helen Pye is calling me. I am taking calls until 2 a.m. Now, Helen is my friend.
Mm-hmm.
Let me just say that. She is a friend now. Absolutely. But that was what was going on. Negotiating, you know, worried about things. Can we do this? Can we do this? Until 2 a.m. taking phone calls
because
about the Marion Ross
thing. Because I think she was working Monday or something crazy.
Yeah, what a wonderful addition to the cast.
And just kind of connecting it to all of, with Sally Struthers for sure, with All in the Family, mm-hmm. but then connecting it to like all of this rich TV history with Happy Days.
I tried to do that. Like, I'm older than Jamie, like I would call in
not
as many
much.
People as I could from like my childhood, just, you know, A, to get it, you know, to be, oh, it's so nice to meet you, you know, just so any opportunity. And Amy appreciated that as well because she did appreciate and totally knew who everybody is, even though Amy's younger than
right.
I am.
Is there anyone you went after from kind of that era that didn't work out for some reason or like the schedules
Scott
couldn't
Baio.
Work?
I guess Scott Baio
was my thing because his audition was because I did get laughed at, you know, because I was like, because people weren't really behind me.
Mm-hmm.
And then he changed minds. And then it was the guy. He was the guy.
Right.
I guess Scott Baio.
I can't think of anyone.
Of course, we will on our drive home.
Carol O'Connor. No, just kidding. That'd be amazing.
Might have been
is
dead.
There anyone Amy fought back on?
Push, what do you mean?
Like, was there anyone that you guys were like, this person is perfect, and Amy was like, I don't see it, besides Ryan Gosling, I guess.
Yeah. Besides well, Ryan I will Gosling. Say this. There was a guy we brought in a lot, and he just kept not getting cast, which was Adam Brody. And we were like...
Adam Brody.
We kept having to talk her, and we're like, no, he's great. Adam Brody's great. Come on. And then
right.
I think at one point, because they weren't sure, because it was based on Helen's husband or something, mm. they're like, well, he needs to wear glasses. How does he look in glasses?
We need to change
his hair.
Yep.
He needs to do his hair different.
Really?
And get glasses. So we're like, Adam Brody, get your ass in here. and put on some glasses. I think we even put Dan's glasses on.
We took him over to wardrobe, and Brenda got glasses for us
and changed his hair. And so we paraded him in front of Amy and Dan. They're like, okay,
yeah, that was some hoop jumping there.
But we were determined to get Adam.
Yeah, we really wanted Adam Brody,
and then he left us for the OC.
No, I know that was else? So.
I mean, we were fighters. We were fighters for. We're always known as the champion of actors. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We did have that reputation. Jamie does because she's worked more consistently in casting than I have. But we did have that reputation amongst actors and agents, and I'm very proud of that.
Do you ever like when championing those actors and maybe people that that people aren't necessarily saying yes to on the first round when you're and I guess just casting in general, do you look for like who's right for the part, who looks it, who just is it? Do you ever consider or factor in like, oh, who's going to play nice with others? Who's going to like make this
yes.
a good set and a good vibe?
Oh, absolutely.
Well, a lot of times you don't have that information.
With some people.
You don't have that information, but if it's a more well-known person, perhaps they have a reputation. If it's an older person, perhaps you would make a call to their last job and say, how did they do with their lines?
Recently I was working on a project and we were considering an actor for the project, for the lead. And the producers we worked with, you know, do their research to make sure, because this is a type of offer situation. But they're like, we should check out and make sure this actor has, you know, doesn't have a reputation. Because if you're, you know, literally getting into bed with this person for 7 years, because that's, you know, sometimes.
Yeah.
Then you have to know, you know, what it's like. So they did their research, found out that he did not... Yeah, they came back saying, yeah, on this one project, he had a pretty bad reputation. So then the deal kind of, I mean, we never really started a deal, but it just kind of went away. And then his representatives were like, oh, what's happening with that? And we were like, well, we heard this, this, and that. And a day or two later, the actor called our office and was like, I heard that someone said I have a reputation, and I feel like I at least should explain. And I was like, that takes some balls, but good for that person for getting on the phone and trying to explain why.
And take ownership for the actions.
Yeah, because he said, I don't want to be perceived that way. And, you know, it's a situational thing. And so
Did you hire him?
No.
But, you know, in every instance, there's, you know, what she said, what he said, and what really happened in life, too. So that's, I mean, that does take balls. And that's.
I was kind of impressed. Because we're like, so-and-so's, you know, our assistant or someone was like, so-and-so's on the phone. And we're like, seriously? Okay.
And I did not
take the call. Risa took the call.
I did a sci-fi series that John Cabrera wrote and produced called H+, and that's on YouTube.
If we auditioned for Gilmore Girls, what would you cast us as?
Ooh, oh, good, good. You would be someone smart with kind of a sassitude.
Okay.
Like someone smart with a sassitude. Like
Paris.
The male Paris.
Her match.
No.
Oh, finally.
No, you kind of like Danny Strong's character.
I'm a Danny Strong vibe.
I could see that.
Yeah.
Like the head of the newspaper.
Smart,
and then...
maybe a little bossy, maybe a little snarky. That's your look. That's kind of your look. I'm going off your look. You're very warm.
And then when I talk.
You're intelligent and you're warm. So by your look, I would think you could probably have some sassitude.
Okay.
All right.
I'll take it.
Quirky, in the land of quirky, in the land of persnickety. Yeah. I would hope that you could play persnickety. Can you?
I can. Do you want me to right now?
I do. Yes.
This is your audition.
Let's persnickety
feed me a line. Okay, feed me a line, Danny.
This is for Gilmore Girls
Wait,
season
let's,
eight.
Why don't, here's what we're going to do. Okay. We're going to cast you in a part and cast you in a part, and then you will do a scene.
Yeah.
Okay
so you're
You will improv it.
Yeah. Okay, so you're
persnickety.
You're persnickety snack. That's your name.
You're persnickety. Okay. You.
And this might be tougher because there weren't as many people like him on Gilmore Girls.
Right? Hello?
I'll be Michelle. No. I'm kidding. We're kidding.
You are the exchange student black. From Africa. No, I'm kidding.
Wait, you're...
He has to be from Africa.
Yeah, I do. Where else am I? No.
Aren't you?
He was born in London.
I know you were.
Yes.
Because I listened to the podcast about it. That's so Nigeria. I wanted to know.
How flattering.
Yeah. Okay. What do we do for you? It's intelligence. It's got to be
another
something that's
intelligent
smart.
Guy.
Something that's smart, and you. But you have warmth and thoughtfulness to you too.
Here's what went down. Okay. You guys. So Rory, we're gonna pretend you know that it didn't go her way. She wanted to go to Princeton, okay. or she it was one of the schools on her list. Mm-hmm. So she had to go visit Princeton.
Mm.
And you guys are the two guys that, like, when people come to visit Princeton, you guys have to determine whether, like, this is someone you can consider or not consider to come to Princeton.
But now someone has to play Rory.
You, for sure.
You're Rory.
Oh, okay, great.
Mara's Rory. I will direct.
It's an improv podcast.
Wait, and
they'll ask me smart questions, and I'm not smart.
Okay. No, you are. You play one on TV. The problem is that she comes and she's Lorelai. The problem is that you have to tell Lorelai that her daughter did not get into Princeton, right?
And we're admissions officers, or
I don't know. That loving, I was really liking seeing like
you're giving a
superiors,
tour, giving
like
a tour,
giving a tour,
but like you are real.
You're giving a tour, and the tour. Is an actual like audition, like a job interview. So you guys you're battling for the same job. Mm-hmm. So you're superiors. Okay, so I'm sorry,
trying to prove that you're, like
you're senior students who are both up for, you're the final candidates for welcome admissions office.
Okay.
And your final round, and you're being viewed by this person. You know, you're silently being judged. This person is going to decide who gets the job.
But you're taking
Lorelai
around because Rory's in a classroom right now.
Yes. Yeah, so you're taking. You know what? You are interviewing the mother to see if you think the mother's, like, if her child's fit. That seems all like fucked up, right? Like the mother has to go through an interview to see if her child.
So,
and you're Lorelai?
No, she is.
You're Lorelai. Okay.
I'm just judging you.
Wooza. Get into the space.
On a very special Gilmore Guys at Princeton.
So, hi, I'm Lorelai Gilmore.
Miss Gilmore, what is your background from Princeton?
Oh, my background. I didn't go to college.
Why is that?
Well, my lovely daughter that you met, Rory.
Rory.
I had her at a very early age. So I was a single mother, and I had to work, and I raised her on my own, so there wasn't time to go to college at that time because I was raising her to be the most amazing person in the world, as you both know.
The daughter of a single mother. I like the narrative, but I don't know if it's a Princeton fit.
I don't know if that's Princeton material necessarily. Do you think that carried over to your daughter?
Not at all, and that's a very rude question.
Well...
We're sorry. What are you doing later?
I'm sorry. We're sorry.
La 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 la.
Executive producer Amy Sherman Palladino. I think we nailed it.
I think we crushed it. Yes.
I'll consider a callback with adjustments.
If there is a season 8. I want to be in the background.
Let us be a mailman.
Well, yeah, we'll get you in. No, we need to get in.
Oh, yeah.
We need to get in.
You never know if you're going to be asked back. We hope to be.
But you guys were responsible for some of our favorite characters for the casting. For Zuckri, for Milo.
Who's your fave?
Harris is your...
Because the teams, because it started out, like, you guys were kind of...
Are you team Jess?
Yeah.
No. I'm team
Dean
independent.
Or?
I feel like she doesn't have any, like...
You're team Rory.
Yeah. I don't think she has any good matches.
At the end of the day, I'm team Rory, but if I have to choose, I'm team Logan.
I don't 100%. Know Logan yet, so...
Yeah. Oh, you don't know Logan yet.
Right.
So if
met
you were
Logan.
Jess and Dean, you'd have to pick one.
If I have to pick one, Jess, just because I think Rory is a better person through Jess.
Uh-huh.
But I don't.
I think that Rory is becoming... She's becoming smarter. She's, like, standing up for herself more.
Through abuse.
Look, I'm team Jess with Rory. I'm not team Jess as a person.
Okay. That's okay. But I don't even buy that he makes it. I mean, what teams are you guys?
For like, if I had to, it was Screw, Marry, Kill.
Yes.
Oh yeah, let's do that.
Okay, Screw, Marry, Kill. Oh God, that's tough. Oh, I would screw Jess.
Yes,
of course.
Right. I would marry
kill Dean,
and I'd
marry Zuccari.
We'd marry Logan. Yeah. Yes,
on a but, those, bed
but
of
that's
money.
Me knowing their. But I think that's me knowing their who they are as people.
Mm.
Wait a minute, as characters or as people? See, we know them as people too.
But they're very like their characters.
No, Zuccari's a prince.
He was princely.
He's kind of a prince on the show, I would say.
He was princely on the show.
Yeah. Okay, he's a prince.
I don't know why Logan gets such a bad rap, just because his dad's a piece of...
Greg Henry's the best. Come on.
Greg Henry as Mr. Huntsberger. Well, let's hear the story. Okay. We got time.
So Greg has a bunch. I think he even asked. So Amy, we weren't finding the role, and they were not happy with us. And I think it was because the character wasn't 100% fleshed out. Mm-hmm. In the material, and we got an angry phone call, and we're cutting Mr. Huntsberger.
I'm like, even wait, remember this.
Because you were out of town, because the shit always hits a fan when you're out of town. So I
it's
was like, wait,
song.
No, wait, you don't understand. It's Greg Henry. So I call Greg Henry's agent. Can he come over now? Having never looked at material, thanks. He comes over. Boom, done.
Yeah, but it was one of those things down to the wire.
No, they were cutting it. You know, we're not seeing it in the auditions. I'm like, but we haven't, you know, Greg, for whatever reason, Greg wasn't able to get in. I'm like, you don't understand. It is Greg Henry. And
she saw Greg Henry, and then she was like, oh, done.
Okay, thanks. Yeah, that's him. Thank you very much.
Right on. You guys didn't have to wear crazy hats while working there, did you?
No.
Okay.
No.
It was all Amy.
You don't want, no one can top her top.
Any other, before we go... It sounds like we're kind of wrapping things up. Any other like fun casting stories, something that people may not know about the process or about the process specifically on this show that you'd like people like have insight to?
I have a fun story.
Okay. It better be fun though.
It doesn't even have to be about casting.
I told the actor about this story. Did I tell you this?
Is this a Matt Jones thing?
Nope.
Okay.
Oh.
I heard that. That was a good one.
Yeah. Because he came in hungover.
I heard him on NPR, and I'm like, that's not one down. That's not what went down.
He got it a little mixed up, the story, but it's fine.
But it's fine. Whatever. But
we love Matt.
What did he get mixed up?
His story here with you guys seemed to be more on point with what happened. But then again, it was his experience. We were in the room. What the fuck? Mm. Okay, go ahead.
Okay. So, do you guys know who Jason Lewis is?
Jason Lewis.
Sex in the City. He played Samantha's boyfriend. Hot blonde guy.
Model,
he used to be a model.
Oh, no. I was thinking of the little guy.
Well, Amanda. Some in your audience might.
Okay.
He's super hot.
He's super hot.
Okay.
So he was a model before. And before Sex in the City and all that, he was a model. And then he decided to get into acting. And so he came in to audition for Gilmore Girls very early on in his acting career. And so Mara, we would switch off reading with the actors. Mara's an awesome actress and like so good. I would actually watch her more so sometimes than the actors because she's so good in the readings. But anyway, that day she was lucky enough to read with Jason Lewis. And in the scene, there was a kiss in the sides in the audition material. And so at the end of the scene, Jason kissed Mara. Which is so inappropriate in a casting session. You don't kiss the casting director. You don't touch the casting director. But Jason was a model and didn't know that. And so he kissed Mara. And all of us were like,
It wasn't my first kiss in an audition because Joe Sikora from Power kissed me too in an audition.
Wow.
We were there for, what was that rollerblading thing we did? Xanadu.
Oh,
we did the live Xanadu was
anyway.
A huge
I was
hit
just sad that I was not
really
reading
on the receiving that day. End of that.
I was not reading that day because that was fun. She got real red. It was real fun, and I just told him that story because he came into audition for something else I was doing recently. I'm like Jason Lewis.
Has
I have a great
act?
Jason Lewis story. He's actually did an awesome job.
That's great. Awesome.
But I told him the story, and speaking of getting red, his face. Aww. He was like. oh no.
That's really
and
funny.
He was horribly embarrassed.
Yes,
but I'm like, don't be embarrassed because it made our whole day. It was the best audition. I'll always remember
it. If there are actors in your audience listening, and this is like truthful, don't touch the casting director. Don't bring in a gun. Don't bring in a knife.
Who's brought in a gun?
And don't punch walls. And don't like set up maybe, what are the blood packets called?
The squibs?
Don't bring a squib and set something off. Just don't do it, because a casting director will take a picture of it and put it on Facebook. And
Milo
shame
really
you.
Gave it his all in that audition.
Just imagine bringing a gun like Rory.
No, people do. No, people do. You know, people do.
That's insane.
You know, it's
not
unfortunate.
Not anymore.
A casting director just recently posted, like yes. this time, a hole that was punched in the wall, but almost to the exact date this year, blood. There was blood all over the ceiling.
Gosh.
And I like for a squib or something. Yeah. So like people, you know, it's a desperation.
Not for a Disney show. No.
So there, it is. You know, that's like a. It's there's a. We. Talking about actors or auditioning or the psychology
that
behind
it. That could be
it.
A whole 10-hour podcast. Oh, just like God. Fun.
Let's do it right
that
now.
That would be a fun one. Just call casting directors to tell crazy acting like audition stories.
That'd be so fun. Man. Wait, did Madeleine Albright kiss you in her audition?
No, but she signed Amnabore did. Madeleine Albright signed the book that she read. I have her signed book that she signed when she came on the show.
How fun.
That was fun. We had some cool people, man. We had some cool people.
Amanpour, was that a nightmare to schedule?
Yes. And guess whose shoulders it was on?
You were out of town?
I don't think she was, but it was a nightmare.
I handled the Madeleine Albright.
She didn't have the right visa.
Amanpour.
And she had, it was Friday, and she worked Monday. She had she didn't have the correct visa to work in this. It was a nightmare. I was shitting my pants.
Shitting your brain.
Yeah, I was shitting my brains. And then it
also
came out my
to
ass.
Do in a casting session.
Yeah, don't shit your
so
brains.
So I was pooping a bit. And then, you know, the studio had to get involved in the 11th hour. And some fancy footwork had to be, and like higher ups had to get involved.
Wow.
Because we discovered in the 11th hour she didn't have the correct visa to work in the States to appear on television.
Hmm.
I don't miss stuff like that.
Yeah.
You know?
What part of it do you miss the most with a show like Gilmore? Because obviously you guys are still working, but...
Discovery of new talent. Knowing, you know when someone has it. Mm-hmm. You know, it's funny when you're in by the way, if anyone is an actor out there, I would, you know, if you can get any sort of credit in casting, working in a casting office, I wish colleges and universities offered more casting opportunities, because it was I am a former actor, but it was the best acting education I ever had in becoming a person on the other side.
Well, I came out here through an internship, and I do recall that when a lot of people were applying for casting internships, they'd say, like, if you're an actor, don't do it.
That's true. Yeah. That's true, because if you get an audition, you're going to be out the door. But if you're not sure what you're going to do, if you can take some time, an intern it's all changed, hasn't it? Can interns even exist anymore, the non-paying? It's a wiggly. It's a little gray there. But to be in the room is the best education you can ever get on the other side. Yeah.
What's so valuable about it? Just like that third party perspective.
Well, also seeing behavior. What just watching act, you know,
what
several actors
do.
Come in. What actors do that are that could hurt them, what actors do that are great. You know, that it's like, oh, that guy, of course. Like, someone walks in the room and you just know that this person's going to be good because they have confidence. They walk in the room and they're just like, they've got this. Or the person that comes in kind of nervous, should I sit or stand? Or, you know, when you work on a show, like, that's another thing to consider, you know, that it's like, can we put them up against Lauren Graham? And can they hold their own? Because they need to hold their own. They need to hold their own against Kelly Bishop and Ed Herman and these people. And so that's something that you have to consider. Like, it can't just be someone that's like, I've not been on a set and I'm not sure what to do, even though you did a great audition. We got to have someone who we know that can go in there and be like, I can handle this.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting, too. I mean, someone will walk through the door, it can probably tell you three things about them before they even open their mouth. You absorb, like actors are, excuse me, actors observe and... I think, you know, I mean, and we both love people watching and observing, but to someone to walk in, you know, you can tell if they're a smoker, you can tell if they're a drinker,
wow.
You can tell if they're preoccupied with something else that happened, if they're nervous, if they're walking in as character. As the character, there's just at least three things you can tell about the person just off the bat. It's just a really interesting behavioral experience, you mm-hmm. know?
Nonverbal communication.
Mm. Yes.
Yeah, sure.
Danny Pudi was on the show.
We gave him his first job.
Aww. Danny Pood.
You're responsible for Community.
And Breaking Bad.
And Breaking Bad and Chris and the
Star Trek.
Star Trek.
Ah, who cares?
Bridesmaids, all of it.
And all of Melissa McCarthy's movies.
My mom still asks me why I'm not casting her movies. She's like, doesn't Melissa call you to cast her movies? I'm like,
nope.
Mom. Not how Hollywood works, but thanks for playing. Love you, Mom.
Yeah.
Oh.
That's one thing that a lot of people don't know is it is kind of like junior high school. The popular kids are always going to the dance.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, even with, you know, casting, you know.
So was getting into features something you guys ever wanted to do, like on a more consistent basis?
Yeah, I mean, we did some indies, but we didn't. That's very studio based.
It's kind of a lot of people who cast television. A lot of people who cast film. But it's also like with how a lot of feature film actors are coming to television. It's the same with the casting directors. Who there was a time when there weren't a lot of features going on, and they needed work. And so then it was awesome to get that big casting director who was doing big features to come do your TV series.
And they couldn't mm-hmm. do it. They hated it because the speed of television is so quick.
It's different. It is so different process.
My husband is in post sound. That's what he does. He's a post sound editor, and he loves it when he gets to work on a feature. But when he has to work on TV, man, he's up at 6:30 and he's coming to bed
so
at 11.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because TV, the turnaround is so quick, and that's how it is. So when you waltz your way in from a feature, boom, you know, right? You're running the whole time. You're like,
like there might be a double-edged sword with that, where in TV there's almost like not enough time for higher ups to maybe meddle as much, or for too many cooks to get in the kitchen?
No, the cooks are always in the kitchen.
The cooks are always in. Okay.
I mean, Jamie, it's different for Jamie because she works on a prestigious cable show. You know.
Oh, what are you working on now?
Masters of Sex.
Oh,
great show.
Yeah,
great show.
Yeah.
So it's different. It's a little different for her as television was changing towards the end of Gilmore Girls, and the higher ups were getting more and more and more involved, and then we you know experienced it in our. I haven't pursued casting full time really since Gilmore Girls ended. I've only jumped in and out of it here and there.
Gotcha.
So she's had a more consistent experience with it, but. No, pilots, yeah. Executives.
And then on a different note, just with the recent passing of Edward Herrmann, do you guys have any like fun memories or stories of working with him on the set, or just like distinct memories? Because you didn't cast him for the pilot.
Right, but correct.
We were at his memorial here in Los Angeles, and you know, we were a bit on the periphery with him. Hello, how are you? Or socializing with him, small talking with him, you know, at a party or something. But the memorial, as Jamie pointed out, after it was done, we got to know him more. We got to know his family, his beautiful, loving, wonderful family. We saw pictures of, you know, him growing up, and showed
videos of all his work, it was really awesome, because that's the other thing is, like, we cast people and then they're off and they go do their thing, and we don't see them much after that. You know, they go to the set, they're on set, they recur or whatever, and you know, some people we've stayed very friendly with and we continue to bring them in for stuff, but there's certain people that, you know, it's like, I don't see Melissa McCarthy, we don't hang out.
I'm close with a number of people still.
Yeah, but to be able, you don't know, you think you know them, but you really don't. And so seeing this whole life of Ed Herrmann, I mean, we were so lucky to have, the Gilmore Girls was so lucky to have him. And just...
Lauren Graham was one of the speakers, and she did such a beautiful job. He was a big letter writer. Speaking of
amazing letter writer, and he wrote letters to Lauren back and forth.
Wow. So she chose to read two letters that he wrote
amazing.
Her, and they were beautiful
and funny,
and of course, and funny. And one of them was about the Twitter, joining the Twitter.
He was thinking about it.
But it's like, shall I join the Twitter? What is the Twitter?
And then he dissected it, and he was right on the money about why would I want to do that when I can write a letter, 140 characters, but Lauren did a beautiful, beautiful job and just really.
It's a big loss.
And he has a beautiful, beautiful family.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Did I make this up? Does he have a daughter?
He has two. Oh, sorry.
A daughter that was on the show?
Was she on the show?
Yeah, I think so, right? Didn't she? Was she in the wedding.
Ryan? Was it Ryan?
Yeah, I think she was in, we put her in one of the weddings.
Oh, great.
Someone's wedding.
The oldest.
What was your question, though?
For some reason, I thought he had a daughter named Rory in real life.
No. Yeah. Yeah, the youngest one.
Is Rory?
Emma. No, is it Emma?
It's Emma and Ryan.
Emma and Ryan. Emma is the youngest one who's just going to college.
Who's the one that's a chef?
No, that's her.
That's her son named Rory. And
Rory.
His name is Rory.
Yes.
Oh, gotcha, gotcha, gotcha.
Yeah.
Were there? I
three kids.
Three kids. Okay, I thought they were. All right. So two daughters and one son.
Yep.
Cool.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of anything else we want to ask.
Anything
about.
Else? You've been so talkative.
Yeah, this is long. I know this is a long thing for you.
No, this is so fun.
I'm more of a, like, I sit in the back and I'm just like, what?
We need to get Liza Weil here for you. I'll make that happen.
I think that'd be worse for me to not say anything. I'd just be like, what was it like?
She's quite shy.
She's quite shy.
No, she's awesome.
She's very shy. Because I'm like, so Gilmore Girls, I'm like, do you know what the Gilmore Girls Gilmore Guys podcast. And she's like, I've heard of them. I'm like, dude, you've got to do it. She's like, oh my God, no, I'd be so scared. I'm like, we're going to do it. Jamie and I are going to do it.
Yeah, she follows us on Twitter, I think.
Oh, good. That's because of
Terrific.
How sweet.
Yeah, so we can get her. Well, I'll bug her about it.
I know. I mean, the dream, I think, is to, as the show continues, and we may slow our roll a little bit and maybe do like one episode a week, and then the Wednesday is like a mailbag episode because we get all these like amazing letters from people.
What?
Like,
oh, great.
Like just these like beautiful things of some stuff we've read on the air, some we haven't. Like one guy wrote in and said, like, you know, my dad was in the ICU for a long time and I had a 1-hour commute to get there, but listening to your podcast, you know, made that better. Actually, you know what? I'm going to find one of the letters that we received, because I think it's definitely worth reading. But just kind of like I think it speaks to, not to our impact, like the podcast, but the impact of the show. And I think it's a very sweet thing. Where is this? Demi, fill for time.
When you guys actually
found it. Wait, did you have a question?
I was actually going to say, like, how did you even get into casting directing in the first place?
I was an actor and I moved here. And I shouldn't have. I mean, I feel I should have stayed in Chicago. I was working. I was working and I was progressing and it was good. And I was in a relationship that was very unhealthy. I continued it out here. And the relationship finally took a long time to die, but it was very toxic. And I just lost all my mojo. I lost all my mojo. And I didn't.
For acting.
I didn't have the strength. Gotcha. I didn't have the strength to do what it takes to do in Los Angeles. And I had met a casting director, Gail Pillsbury, and I did exactly what you don't do. I mean, I think I went to 3 casting director workshops and did a showcase and then threw in the towel. But I met Gail Pillsbury. I have the craziest stories too. And I did what you don't do after a casting director workshop. And I stopped and I talked to her, and she talked to me in the parking lot for a half hour because she changed my life. Just meeting her and her vibe. I was like, I want to be you. I'm done. I want to be you. She totally talked. She tried to talk me out of it. But she ended up helping me, and she got me an internship. She tried to even get me an agent for a minute, and I was like, no, you know, I want to do casting. So I interned for Cammie Patton for 3 months, and then I went on 10 job interviews, and then landed my first assistant job with Susan Vash, and I had a non-traditional path and was a casting director in less than 3 years, which does not happen. And I think that also backs up why I'm not still an active casting director, is because I didn't have the relationships and the coming up in the trenches, and I didn't come up in ranks with the assistants and have that, you know, like I wasn't a casting assistant with so-and-so who's now the head of casting at, you know, Sony or whatever. Right. So I didn't have that history and relationship. And I chose to open an actors collective after the show ended, and I ran that for 3 years and then got a little tired of that and then picked up a camera and take pictures of dogs and babies now and cast sometimes. That was – I just didn't have the strength, and I thought I would be – to act, and I thought I would be a good casting director.
Very cool. And how did you get into it?
I came out from Denver, Colorado to go to UCLA, and I was in the theater program, but I realized halfway through that I was not an actor. I didn't want to be an actor. And I thought, oh my God, now what am I going to do? Because I'm type A personality and I need to have things just so.
Right.
So I got an internship my junior year in casting, and I loved it. And I was like, oh, this is it. I love working with actors, and I like this creative side of it. And so I got an internship, and day after I graduated college, started in casting, and I've been doing it ever since.
How many years have you been casting?
I don't want to say, because okay. Then everyone on the podcast will know I'm old. I've been casting for close to 20 years.
Wow.
In casting. Yeah, casting.
Right.
Casting.
I have about 14 under my belt. 14 years of experience.
Right on. I could read the letter I found. I don't know if I want to, though. It's kind of, I mean, it's just very, okay, so this girl writes in, her name's Kate, and she said, I want to express my sincere gratitude for creating this podcast. My dear friend Melissa passed away last year, and she was a total gilly, which is what we call fans of the show. We watched the entire series together at least 3 times. She would often say, "Oi with the poodles already."
That's our favorite quote.
China, is it
wow.
Really?
Oi with the poodles.
Oh my God.
Copper boom.
Oh my God.
Always.
Continue. Yes.
Oh, and then she just says, I had a very difficult time watching Gilmore Girls after she passed away because we had little jokes about it, and it was a huge bonding, mutual obsession. Listening to your podcast has brought the joy of the show back, and I thank you for that. And that's Kate from Edmonton, Canada.
That's Kate, beautiful,
you're
Kate.
You're awesome.
That's yeah. Beautiful.
Oi with the poodles. That's awesome.
Oi with the poodles. It still comes out of many people's mouths who worked with us over the years.
Yeah. I think that's a good ending point of like, oi with the poodles.
Oi with the poodles.
Oi with the poodles already.
And then my last question, because I don't think we got to it. Which teams? Team Justine, Logan, or Marty?
We went to FMK.
Yeah. What are we playing now?
Just which team? Who's the best boyfriend? Who wins?
Ooh,
who do you love the most?
I have to take myself out of the equation. That's what's hard. It's like,
it's hard. I like all of them for different reasons. I'm going to go Team Jess.
Team Jess. Okay. That's the most popular with our listeners, I think.
Man, I don't know. Can I just stay with my screw, marry, kill?
Yes.
Go. Yeah.
But I already talked about that.
Yeah, that's fine.
Right? Okay, yeah. I don't know whose team I'm on. But you know what? Maybe that will be revealed should there be another... Should there be a Gilmore Girls rebirth? Maybe Amy has thoughts.
I think it needs to happen. We're living in the age of the reboot, Fuller House, Coach season, whatever, X-Files again. Yeah,
and I see that there's social media talk about it, and she did that. I see that the people talk about mm-hmm. that on social media.
Bring it back, people. Yeah, I think all you fans out there,
we have a hashtag.
Let's make it happen.
It's not a great hashtag.
Oh, what is it?
It's Gilmore Girls Season 8 on Netflix or possibly another streaming provider.
HBO
is acceptable.
That's great.
Wow,
that is a hashtag. You guys are awesome. This is going to take you places, dudes. It is.
Yeah.
Well, we hope it takes
us you'll go.
Back to Stars Hollow.
That's the capper.
La, 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 la.
Is it playing?
Yes, it is. You don't have your headphones on.
I don't have my headphones on.
Mara, Jamie, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you for casting us in a hypothetical season 8.
They didn't cast us. They called us back.
Persnickety. Yeah. Oh, they did call us. Oh, yeah. We still need a
Jamie
network test.
Jamie has some adjustments for you.
Understandable.
Can you be better this time? Oh, boy. I think that's it. All right. We'll see you next time on Gilmore, guys. Goodbye.
Thanks for joining.
Bye. 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 Bye.